It's time for Rose Chat on Blog Talk Radio. We're the only show on the airwaves dedicated to growing roses. We're glad you've joined us today. Our phone lines are open, and we'd love to hear from you during today's show. The number to call is 347-677-1870. Or send us a tweet using the Rose Chat hashtag on Twitter. Join us as we explore the world of roses.
I'm Chris Van Cleve, your host for Rose Chat, and I'm glad you've joined us today. And we've got a great lineup of guests. David Clemens, an award-winning rose hybridizer, will be with us here in just a few minutes. And then a little bit later on, we'll be chatting with Judy Bacon of the Gadsden, Alabama Rose Society. Susan Fox and Teresa Byington are with me this morning. Good morning, ladies.
Hi, Chris.
Hi, Chris.
How was your trip to Atlanta?
Oh, wow. It was great. Tina and I went over there on Tuesday to the Greater Atlanta Rose Society, and I had the honor of speaking to this group, and it was just so much fun. You know, there's really no people like rose people. They were so welcoming, and I just want to give a shout-out to Barry and Chris and Kitsy and all the folks over at the Greater Atlanta Rose Society who were just so welcoming to us. And, you know, if you live in the Atlanta area and need your great rose-growing advice, be sure and check out their website at atlantarose.org. And, by the way, guys, they have great snacks, too. They're going to feed you.
It was so great to see you with some of the friends that we talked to on Twitter. I know I saw that picture of you with Mia of Modern Mia Gardening, and you posted it. And isn't it great to see people that we talk to every day with about roses?
Oh, it was. It was. Mia was so sweet. She came over to the Rose Society meeting to meet me, and she joined the Greater Atlanta Rose Society on Tuesday night, and it was just such a joy to be able to connect with people that you see on social media and you meet them in person. So it was a great time. We had a wonderful time.
Oh, that's so fun. Hey, Chris, I've got a question for you. What do Ghost Zapper, Whirl Away, Foolish Pleasure, and Ruffian have in common?
Well, I think they're all thoroughbred horses, right?
Well, that's right, but they're also names of award-winning roses bred by hybridizer David Clemens. David is an ARS-certified consulting rosarian, the past president of the Huntsville-Twickenham Rose Society in Huntsville, Alabama, and he's the recipient of the ARS Award of Excellence for his introduction of Joy, a beautiful miniature rose. He and his wife grow more than 250 exhibition-type hybrid teas, miniatures, and mini floras. And we are honored to have him with us today. Welcome to Rose Chat, David.
Welcome. Thank you very much. Greetings from Grant, Alabama.
I bet you're a little warmer there than we are here in the Midwest.
It was warm throughout the week. This morning it's in the upper 30s. As the front came through, we got the rain that we needed to hopefully wash some of the pollen away.
Oh, well, wish you good luck on that. We had enough cold that our moo poo buckets were frozen this morning, so a little bit colder. Yeah. David, let's go back to the very beginning. How did you get interested in hybridizing roses?
Well, in the beginning, I started exhibiting roses. I was introduced to a lot of people who enjoyed growing roses for different reasons. I believe exhibiting roses is just one facet of the rose culture, people who grow roses to share them however they wish to do that. There are a lot of valid reasons to grow roses. For me, exhibiting was kind of the beginning for me as far as roses. Then I was introduced to people who actually started kind of like backyard hybridizing efforts like Robbie Tucker. I introduced with him in the mid-1970s. He had a red miniature that he shared with me that was a seedling. It became Miss Flippins. And to see the success that he had then following up with a rose like Cachet, it really made me want to see if I could possibly have some success myself hybridizing some roses. So I got started with that. Like I said, this was around 1997, 98, and after a few years, I had a rose that I would like to introduce, possibly name. However, it was a rose that was a little bit bigger than the typical miniature. It was smaller than the typical Floribunda. So what to do with it? Well, for years, any hybridizers that had these types of roses, they simply discarded them and got rid of them. But in 2000, there was a new type of rose that was recognized by the International Cultivar Registration Authority. That's where you go in and register new roses. This new type of rose was called a mini flora, a little bit larger than miniatures, but smaller than Floribundas, and it seemed like that was the perfect niche for this new rose that I had. Now, to decide what to name it, anybody that got into hybridizing, the first thing you're going to do is come up with your own personal list of all these wonderful names that you would want to name a rose after. I happened to see on a news clip, I remembered a match race between two thoroughbred racehorses, Ruffian and Foolish Pleasure. Now, Ruffian broke down in that race, and I saw that as a child, and it really stayed with me. And that was one of the names on my list. Then to see in 2000, that was the 25th anniversary of Ruffian's breakdown in that match race, and I decided, well, not only can I now introduce my rose as a mini flora, I can also name it to commemorate that tragic loss of Ruffian. So that's what really got me into it. I was trying to hybridize something that I would want to grow in my own garden. And being an exhibitor, I was able to then go out and show this rose at different rose shows throughout the Southeast. There was some interest in it. And Robbie Tucker and Logan Schilling all had started selling roses, own root roses, through Rose Mania. And they offered to actually introduce this rose for me and sell it to as retail to the general public. So that really was exciting for me. I didn't know what might happen with it, but a lot of people responded and actually enjoyed growing Ruffian, and that was just a very humbling experience, and that's kind of where it all started.
What a fascinating story. I'm so glad for the new class of mini roses. I can't imagine all those that were tossed before they had a class to put them in.
Absolutely.
Oh,
people
wow.
like Frank Bernadella was another mentor mm-hmm. of mine, and he had for years thrown away many lovely, beautiful mini flora type roses that there was really no niche for them because there was no way to introduce them as such because there really was no that particular class of rose didn't exist at the time. But in 2000, mini floras as they are now that people grow, for the most part, they kind of originated in this part of the Southeast. Whit Wells in Tennessee and Robbie Tucker in Tennessee and myself and a few others really started pushing mini floras, and they have become as popular, if not more popular, than the typical miniature rose.
Oh, and they're so, so beautiful, so beautiful. David, hybridizing is so fascinating to those of us, especially those of us who haven't tried that. Could you step our listeners through some of the process that you go through to get started on a new rose?
Absolutely. One of the first things you've got to do is learn the mechanics of hybridizing. If you decide that you want to do some crosses, the first thing you've got to decide is what makes a good mother plant. And by that, I mean a rose that would accept pollen. It would form seeds and hips. If you know what a rose hip is, those rose hips contain the actual seeds that are going to become a new individual rose. What you want to do is I would decide to grow all of my mother plants. Those that are going to set hips, I would have them in pots. I would not expect to fertilize them throughout the year because excess nitrogen would cause the hips that do form to fall off. So there's not going to be a plant that you're going to choose to exhibit from or anything like that. Maybe give them just some Miracle-Gro when you lightly prune them in the spring. But what roses do I use for mothers? You can look at Modern Roses, which is a publication from the ARS. You can actually find some successful crosses. You can find the roses that you enjoy growing in your own garden, and you could actually find out what the mother of those plants are, and you might choose some of those plants to grow. You're also then going to try to find something that has a good production of pollen from a father plant. I call it a pollen plant. You can get those throughout your garden. Some plants will actually self-pollinate well. So you can see those that will form hips in your garden already, those that you don't deadhead as often. You may see them forming hips. Then that might be a good choice to use. But the process itself is actually the mother plant. You're going to actually create what is going to be basically you're going to remove all the stamens. If you know, you have to know the actual parts of a flower. You're going to remove the stamens from the mother plant, leaving only that pistil, which is the female part of the flower. And then you, after several hours, maybe late in the afternoon, after doing this in the morning, after removing the stamens from a flower that's about three-fourths of the way open but hasn't started to form any pollen yet, remove those stamens, and that pistil then, the mother plant, can be used to receive pollen later on in the day. So I would get the pollen, maybe put them in petri dishes or whatever. If you want to use mixed pollen, if you want to use pollen from a specific plant, a rose father that you want to use, and you're going to apply pollen then to that pistil and keep it covered out of the weather. That's why another reason I like to use potted plants, because I wouldn't want rain or dew or anything to get onto those plants that I have actually put pollen on. And mark them either with a chi string or something and label them with a pollen parent. You're always going to know what the mother plant is, but that cross would be, say, in the case of Joy, I use Silver Heel, which is a miniature from Pete and Kay Taylor from several years ago, and I removed all the stamens from several blooms, and I use Kristen as a pollen parent. Kristen forms pollen very, very well, and you can almost just break off some flowers of Kristen and let them sit throughout the day, and before you know it, you can almost use them as a paintbrush. The pollen will be so prolific on those stamens that you can just then just basically wipe the pollen across the pistils on those flowers. So in the case of Joy, I crossed Silver Heel and Kristen, formed hips over a process of 3 or 4 months, and they'll turn bright orange, bright red. And at that point, late in the fall, you know that you can remove those hips, store them in maybe some type of plastic bag or something, place them into your refrigerator or crisper, and basically forget about them for another 3 or 4 months. That process is called stratification, because the hips need to go through a cold period in order for them to then germinate. When do they want to germinate? Usually around the first part of the year. I'll bring them out of cold storage, put them into flats, and with only gentle heat out in my greenhouse, or if you're someone just starting out, you can put them in your attic or somewhere where it's cool, maybe in the mid-40s, upper 40s, something like that, and those seeds will actually start germinating over a period of time. Now, as it gets warmer after a few months, then that process will slow down. So you need a cool stratification, and then the roses will actually germinate. And in a period then, after about 6 weeks, you'll actually get a bloom, even on those baby little bitty plants, and you're going to get to see your first bloom off of that first year that you've tried to do hybridizing. You're going to want to keep all of those plants. You're going to love them all. They're going to be the world's best roses because they're yours. But they're all unique, too. They're as unique as any brother or sister or sibling that you have. Each rose is unique, even though they have the same parents. That's why some roses, I think if you can look up Mr. Lincoln in Oklahoma, if I'm not mistaken, those two hybrides have the very same parentage, but they're very unique and different in their own way, just like any siblings were. Of my own roses, Whirlaway and Ghost Zapper have the same parents, but totally different types of rose plants. So you're going to get all types of different types of plants from your crosses. What you need to do is really focus on maybe one specific trait that you want to have in your rose, whether it's, in my case, exhibition form. If you're looking for a rose that has very good disease resistance. Concentrate on that. Concentrate on climbers if that's what you want. So don't expect a lot of success in those first few years, but as you, you know, learn the process, and eventually you're going to start seeing some roses, I guarantee you, if you are diligent and patient. People have to be patient with hybridizing. In the case of Joy, that was a seedling that I crossed in 2001. In 2005, 4 years later, I had enough plants and a decision to enter it into the American Rose Society's AOE program. Two additional years of growing and not knowing if it would win or lose. In 2008, it received the AOE award, and now we're talking about 12 years later, people referring to Joy as a new rose. For me, it's 12 years old. So, you know, be very patient and be very diligent, and you'll be surprised what you can accomplish, and even as a backyard amateur hybridizer like myself.
Those were such excellent tips. I think our listeners could listen and go step by step and have great success with just what you laid out. So thanks so much. That was perfect. Perfect. Such good information. David, let's talk a little bit about your roses. Ruffian was your first rose, as you mentioned. Tell us a little bit about Ruffian.
Well, Ruffian is a cross of Corina, which is a forest rose. A lot of people who were exhibiting at that time in the mid-90s were always looking for new exhibition-type roses. Well, the first thing that comes to mind, of course, is forest roses. So I tried my hand at some of the forest roses that were available at the time. One of them was Corina, which is kind of an orange salmon-colored rose, very much like Ruffian. And, of course, wanting to concentrate even then on minis and mini-floras, I decided to cross that hybrid tea with a miniature rose called Child's Play. Now, this was, I think, like 1997, 98 maybe, that particular cross. And I didn't get a lot of seedlings, maybe three or four out of that whole cross. And one of them I decided to keep. I grew it for several years. And lo and behold, I decided, well, I'm going to register this rose because if I have something even better in the future, I want to have a prefix name. Every rose that you see that gets registered, whether it be Jackson and Perkins, you'll see the prefix. The actual true name of that rose is for Ruffian is Deck Ruff, D-E-C-R-U-F. That's the actual name. However, the trademark name or how you're going to sell that rose then can be, you would choose a trademark name, in this case, Ruffian. So that's why I chose Ruffian. And why I decided after Ruffian to name all my other roses after thoroughbred racehorses is because, not because I have any, I've never really been around horses. I enjoy watching the Triple Crown races each year, and I'm always pulling for the winners. And to go through the list of the wonderful names that horses have, I could only imagine having a rose then named to commemorate some really wonderful thoroughbred like Ruffian. So I've basically given thoroughbred roses, that is the name that I've given to my hybridizing program. That's simply put. And what that is I see it as a marriage of the sport of kings with the queen of flowers. So I thought it only made sense to continue on that path. The only time I strayed from that is when I won the AOE award with Joy. Everybody wants to name a rose after someone in their family, particularly to be able to name a rose like Joy after my mother. That I couldn't ask for a better gift, and she really appreciated that, and it really meant a lot to me and to her to be able to do that. But Ruffian was the start for me. A lot of people may not even grow Ruffian anymore, but that was the beginning for me, and it'll always be near and dear to my heart.
That's awesome. Our listeners, there's a great article in the ARS Mini and Mini Flora Bulletin, fourth quarter 2011. The article's by Andrew Hearn, and it's on David Clemens and the thoroughbred as a thoroughbred hybridizer. It talks about the horses and the roses. It's a great article, so look it up. You might enjoy it. David, we have a question from Facebook. And they're asking, do you have to register to be a hybridizer?
No, absolutely not. The process of registering your rows can be more of a personal thing to where you want to have that rose registered, much like you want to register. I have a full-blooded rough collie that I love dearly, and he's registered, but, of course, I don't love him any less because he's registered as a collie. He's been neutered. I'm not going to be using him to hybridize any more collies or anything like that. But anybody that would like to register a rose, it can be a personal choice, or it could be somewhat of a way to protect that rose if you do decide that you want to introduce it at some point in time. If someone is interested in doing that for you or you yourself, then registering that rose will give it a proper name that you can then show and exhibit. I would suggest any rose that you're going to exhibit, then I would suggest, yes, get it registered so that it can be known to the judges as being a true named variety.
Thank you. Richard Anthony was with us on Rose Chat Radio a few weeks ago, and he couldn't say enough about your roses, especially Joy and Whirl Away. So let's talk about Whirl Away. And I read that Kitty and Bob Belins won Mini Flora Queen with Whirl Away at the Pacific Rose Show in 2010. And that must be a thrill for a hybridizer to see your baby, as you put it, be such a big winner. Tell us a little bit about that story.
Oh, okay, yes, sure. For Whirl Away, when I saw Whirl Away, I can remember the very first bloom that I saw, and I thought, wow, this is a nice white rose. I wonder if it would be a mini flora, four bund or what. I don't know. But over time, it proves itself to be much like its pollen parent, which is Foolish Pleasure. Very tall growing, long stems, but what was really true about Whirl Away is its staying power. It would hold and hold and hold and had wonderful exhibition form. Mm-hmm. When I was able to get Whirl Away on the market and people growing it all over the country, someone like Bob and Kitty Belendez to win with a rose that you hybridize, that is the most satisfying feeling that you can have. Of course you want to win with your own roses at your own rose shows that you go to, but that is really the most gratifying is when other people grow and show your roses, and in this case, win something like that, a queen of show. It is really gratifying. I can't tell you how satisfying that is and truly how humbling it is to have someone have success, get feedback from them that they enjoy growing and showing your roses. That, to me, is the most satisfying part about hybridizing. I've kept my day job because, believe me, there's no money per se in this for me as an amateur rose hybridizer. If I break even, if I get any royalties or anything like that, it probably doesn't come close to paying for the time and money spent doing this and the time and everything it keeps to keep a small greenhouse going. Have just a small 11 by 13 greenhouse in the backyard. And for me, that suffices because I'm not trying to do any more than what I'm doing now. And I like to put out, if I can come up with a good rose every few years, something like that, that's more than satisfying to me to be able to do that. But for Whirl Away to have the success it has had, much like Joy, both I think were for 2012, they were the number one variety in their class from all over the country. And you can see all those statistics. If you're interested in exhibiting and trying to find good roses, go to BobMartinsRoseShow.com, and all the statistics are there. And I really thank him for keeping up with all that. That's a mighty effort on his part, and I appreciate everybody sending in all the statistics from their local rose shows to him.
Bob does a great job for us all. David, in 2008, you were awarded the American Rose Society Award of Excellence for your introduction of Joy. I can't imagine. I'm sure that was just a huge honor. Tell us about Joy, how it got its name, and about this whole experience of getting this award.
Well, up until that time, of course, I'd named all of my roses after thoroughbreds. And I was kind of, you know, people didn't believe me, but tongue in cheek, I was saying, you know, if it wins the AOE award, then I may name it after someone, but if not, I'll just name it after a racehorse. So fortunately for my mother, she's not a racehorse. She's actually named Joy is for a miniature rose. So Joy, like I said, I had been growing it for several years, taking it to different shows. I'd won Best Miniature Show, Best Miniature Seedling at several shows. It won Best of Show even at some shows. And then I took it to, I think it was in 2005, to a National Rose Show. And I was able to win the Rose Hybridizers Association trophy with Joy as a seedling. So that was the true impetus to, well, maybe I need to put this into the AOE. Had enough plants, sent it as the AOE is to different gardens all over the country that have people who evaluate and grade that rose. And then to find out that it won. And that year, it was really humbling because not only did Joy win the award, but Frank Bernadella and Michael Williams also had varieties that won. And to just stand up there along with them receiving the award of excellence, I can't tell you how really humbling and proud I was that day to be, you know, up there among the other champions that I saw at the time as being the real champions of rose hybridizing, particularly of miniatures and mini floras.
Well, you've done a great work. We're so glad you've been honored for it. I'm interested in cold hardiness since I'm in Zone 5.
Sure.
How do these mini floras hold up in Zone 5?
For the most part, according to if you grow them in the ground, most of the minis and mini floras, of course, are grown on root. That is going to be a huge factor in how winter hardy your roses are, no matter what type of class they are. Minis and mini floras seem to come back very well from a hard freeze or harsh winter. I would give them the same mulching and all that I would to my other roses. But as far as the roses that I grow particularly, I've only had a few that few varieties, maybe Tabasco Cat, some of the smaller ones, maybe Ali Sheba and some others that probably would prefer to be in a more warmer climate. But I know in the case of Joy, I had no problem with it coming through brilliantly through the winter if you have an established plant. People that decide to put a new on-root rose in the ground and expect it to make it through the winter, they might think about growing this rose, any rose that you get really in a pot, if it's an on-root plant, for a year or two before you decide to put it into the ground. That's only going to give it a better chance to survive some of these harsh winters that you might have in a zone such as 5. So think about that. If you grow a lot of roses in pots, you can always protect them, putting up against your house, mulching them up against a fence, something like that during the winter, and you'd be surprised how well they're going to come through the winter for you. But Joy, Whirl Away, for me, they've been very winter hardy, and hopefully you would have success with them.
Thanks. That's good to know. Okay, Dean, now for the hardest question. Of all these beauties, what is your favorite?
My favorite rose, of course, that pulls on my heartstrings the most, the one that I would have to have beyond all others, would be the rose that won the American Award of Excellence, and the rose named for my mother, and that is Joy. Joy, I think anyone would, whether you're growing a rose for garden or for exhibition, the Award of Excellence is given to a rose reluctantly. If I'm going to put a rose into the Award of Excellence, I've got to really realize that the rose is going to be one that's going to do well in the garden, lots of blooms, have good disease resistance. And then if it also happens to be a good exhibition rose, so be it. So for Joy to win, knowing in my heart that it's a true exhibition rose, but for it to win the Award of Excellence, that's already telling you that even without it being a good exhibition type rose, it does meet all the criteria that anyone would want to grow this rose. And to name that rose then after my mother, that yes, Joy is my number one rose in my garden, regardless of type or class. That's the one that's most near and dear to my heart, is the rose named for my mother, Joy.
Wow. That's just awesome, David. I know if any of you who are listening today have ever seen blooms of this rose, Joy, it brings pure joy just to be able to look at it. Now, David, I wanted to ask you a question about some of the new roses that you have on the horizon. You know, on your website, you've got a seedlings page, and we've all had our eye on that page for some time. We're waiting for the next introduction. Can you tell us a little bit about what's coming down the pike?
Well, for sure. In the fall, I hope to introduce a new red mini flora that I did win the Rose Hybridizers Association Award with this red mini flora, and it is a cross between Merlot, which is a mother plant that I love to use. It's a Frank Bernardella miniature, and I crossed it with Robin Alonzo. Robin Alonzo is a sport of Caliente, which is a miniature. Robin Alonzo is a mini flora. So it's sported. If you know what a sport is, a sport is actually a genetic mutation that arose, in this case, got a little bit bigger. So it was able to be named as another variety. Well, this red seedling that I refer to as its seedling name, 220071, that's the picture that you're going to see on the website. And I'm going to for sure introduce that rose in the fall, for sure. I just have not registered it yet or named it yet. So as soon as I know what it's going to be registered as, I'll make sure that all the followers on Rose Chat are one of the first people to find out. Now, where is it going to be for sale? Well, much like any of the roses now today, if you're looking for own root minis and mini floras, you can't beat Richard Anthony's For Love of Roses. Go there first to find any of my roses if you want to grow them on root. If you want to grow any of the thoroughbred roses on multiflora rootstock, go to Wisconsin Roses. Steve Singer will set you up there. If you want to grow in the south on Petuniana rootstock, check out K&M Roses, where Jim Mills will be able to hopefully sell you any of the thoroughbred roses that you might want. But on the horizon, that is my next rose that I hope to introduce and have available in the fall, and it is now still unnamed, but it is a red seedling that I hope all of you are going to enjoy. It's a mini flora, grows very upright. The red coloring is a strawberry red. It will not fade, doesn't seem to burn, and that's the thing about reds. You would like a red that doesn't get burnt, in that it doesn't turn dark the longer it stays in the sunlight.
Yeah.
This rose doesn't burn.
Oh, wow.
So I hope everybody will enjoy that, and that's coming in the fall.
Yeah, that's exciting. And, you know, if you could see my notes, the one that we were most excited about on that seedlings page was 220701.
Good.
So
good.
It's the one that everybody's had their eye on. And so that's great news. Now you said we could Richard Anthony's For Love of Roses .com, K&M Roses down in Bucatuna, Mississippi. They've got a great website. You can get your roses. And what were the other sites?
If you're looking for multiflora rootstock, you can go to Wisconsin Roses. Wisconsin Roses particularly will sell Joy, maybe Ali Sheba, and some others. Steve Singer there is starting to introduce more of my roses as he gets wood from me to do that. Now, if you live in the United Kingdom, I had someone approach me, RV Rogers Limited. They sell in the United Kingdom. Several years ago, I sent them bud eyes of a lot of my roses. And if listeners might be even from the United Kingdom, if they want to grow some thoroughbred roses, they're available in the UK. That was truly humbling to know that you have a rose that's being sold across the pond. That was pretty wild.
Wow. That's incredible. We have listeners all over the planet. We had someone contact us from the UK just recently. So that's great news. Yeah. Well, David, you know, I think we could talk roses all day long, but I think we're coming to the end of our time together. I just want to thank you so much for coming and just sharing your wealth and knowledge of roses and hybridization, and you've just been such an inspiration to many of us who grow and show roses and with your introductions, and I just want to thank you for being on the show today.
Well, once again, I appreciate being here today. Thank you for asking me, and have a great day.
Thank you so much. Hope you'll come back now when you've named this rose and tell us all about it.
Absolutely.
All right. We'll talk to you soon.
Take care.
Susan?
Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with Gadsden Rose Society President Judy Bacon. Stay with us. There's more Rose Chat Radio coming your way.
Hi, this is Jackie D'Elia with Southern Post Journal, and today I want to talk to you about manure compost tea. This is Authentic Haven brand from California. One of the things that I really like about this is how easy it is to apply. It's a simple cotton bag filled with composted manure. You drop it in your bucket, typically a 1 to 5 gallon bucket of water. Drop in your tea bag. You'll notice some of the brown liquids coming out, and that's the manure starting to mix with the water. Once that's finished, 1 to 3 days, you'll have some fantastic manure tea ready for putting on your plants. So I've got my manure tea brewing for about 3 days, and I'm going to take a peek in there and see what it looks like. It's got a great color, it's got a great smell, and it's ready to be applied to my garden. So whether you choose to put it in your watering can and a sprayer, or just take a bucket and drench it into your vegetable garden, it's very easy to use. I use it in my garden, and I highly recommend it. So give it a try.
Good morning, everyone. This is Susan Fox of GogasGarden.com, and joining us now is Judy Bacon. She's the president of the Gadsden, Alabama Rose Society. She's also a master gardener and an American Rose Society member and docent of the Birmingham, Alabama Botanical Gardens. Welcome to Rose Chat, Judy. How are you this morning?
I'm fine. How are you?
Just great. Can you tell me, we have heard that you've been doing some really exciting and a lot of work restoring the roses at your city library. Can you tell us, how did you get involved in such a project as that, Judy?
I got involved in this. One of the master gardeners wanted to plant some flowers in the courtyard of the Gadsden Public Library. And he asked for me to help in designing this. And the flowers that he planted were daylilies. And once the daylilies die, then there's just lifeless foliage. So I started with the idea of planting roses, because if I put some knockout roses, the roses would bloom all the time. And then 2 years ago, I had a shoulder injury, and I couldn't do anything, so I redesigned the courtyard and totally changed everything around and planted 23 rose bushes in the courtyard now, and I and my Rose Society maintain the courtyard. We have a climber, Don Juan, and we have Knockout, and we have Dolly Parton, and several other rose bushes in there, Cinco de Mayo, and we have some book roses in there. There are several different roses that we take care of in the courtyard. And also the daylilies, we moved them to a different area, and there's hostas in there. And we have a plaque that was awarded to us, and I believe it was 2010, that was awarded to us by the Gadsden Public Library for our dedication of the roses that we put into the garden. And the plaque is on the outside of the library, and it was dedicated to me and my husband and the Gadsden Rose Society.
Well, that must be really a community beautification project, because it must just look so much better, doesn't it?
Oh, it's beautiful. Last year, the roses bloomed all the time. They were absolutely beautiful. So my husband and I take care of it most of the time. We spray it and go down there and deadhead it and cut them down in February and fertilize them and take really good care of it.
Now, do you see a lot of people in the community just going out to enjoy the garden now, where before you didn't see so much activity? Is it more of a gathering place for people to just go and enjoy the beauty?
They do. The people in the library, they can come out to the courtyard. It's connected to the courtyard, and there's a fence around it. And so mm-hmm. there's a door that is from the library to the courtyard, and they come out into the courtyard and sit out in the courtyard amongst all the beautiful roses and read. So it is such a beautiful place to sit now and read their books or study for a test. And so it is, I think, more people now come into the garden because it is such a pretty place to come to now.
Well, as you know, June is National Rose Month, and we would just love to know how the Gadsden Rose Society is going to celebrate that occasion. Do you have anything planned?
We do. The ARS went with other groups of societies to get the libraries to join with the ARS in a subscription of joining the ARS. And mm-hmm. my group did this time. And so there will be a book that will be displayed amongst other books that will be displayed. And because I have 200 roses in rose bushes in my garden, then in the month of June, I will display roses constantly. The month of June, I will cut roses out of my garden and take them and display them in the Gadsden Public Library on that display. As you walk into the library, that will be the display that you will see. Will be the books about the roses, and there will be a display of roses that will be out of my garden that will be displayed for the whole month of June.
Oh, that's a wonderful idea, because whenever there's a bouquet of fresh roses from the garden, all eyes are drawn to it. And I know that Diane Summers with the American Rose Society on the membership committee talked about that she does presentations at library and had mentioned that very program that you're talking about at the library. So that's just a wonderful idea. And roses are so personal and touch our lives in so many ways. I know that you helped a friend of yours named Mark, that you shared that story with us in his garden. Can you share with our listeners that beautiful story, please?
Sure. His name is Mark Kelly, and Mark passed away last April, and he was a very dear friend of mine. And Mark did not trust very many people, but I was one of his friends that he trusted very much. And he got sick last January and was in the hospital for over 2 months. And before he got sick, he always wanted a rose garden in the front of his house, and he never could get the roses to grow. And landscapers had told him that he did not get enough sun. And I would go down there at different times of the day and look, and I kept telling him he did get enough sun, and if he would let me do it, that I would plant him a rose garden and prove to him that I could get roses to grow. So he finally gave me the permission to do it. So I bought some more roses and planted the roses, and he got out of the hospital on a Saturday, and all of those roses in that rose garden were blooming absolutely beautiful. And he was so happy that his friend said that it made his whole world to see those roses blooming, something he always wanted. I mean, they were absolutely beautiful. And on Wednesday, he came down to my house and talked to me and told me how beautiful they were and how much he appreciated it. And he went back home, and a few hours later, I got a call from a friend next door saying that they had rushed him to the hospital, and he got to see the roses that day also. But later that day, he died. And ever since then, I continued to landscape his yard and continued to take care of those roses. And I still am this year taking care of them. It's something I feel like that just because I've made the promise to Mark to do it, that I should do it. So I am continuing to take care of Mark's rose garden to make it bloom just for Mark, so I know that Mark sees those rose garden from heaven. So,
Judy, that is the most beautiful story. And, you know, for our listening audience, I know that roses need about 6 to 8 hours of sun, and I feel that you and some divine intervention were working with that garden. And how many roses would you mind telling us? I did see the other day that some roses, I think it was iceberg, do require a little bit less sun. But how many roses and what did you put in, just so people know that they can, even in some shadier areas, grow these beautiful roses?
Well, really, roses, and like I say, I have 200 or more roses in my garden. And a lot of people say that roses need 6 to 8 hours of sun. But I've been president for 7 years, and if roses get a good 5 hours of sun, you're good with almost any rose. You really are. And I put there's a few knockouts. There are there's a Don Juan climber. I'm sorry, but I just cannot remember what else I put down there in his garden. But they're all doing really well. And there's some Hypertees in there. There's some Floribundas. Floribundas are, and Grandiflores are my favorite over Hypertees because they bloom a lot per stem and they bloom all the time. And I prefer them over the Hypertees because they bloom one rose per stem, and then they'll bloom at one flush, and then they don't bloom for a week or two, and then they'll start back. So I like that blooming all the time.
Well, Chris, Teresa, and I have had that same discussion, and I wrote the same thing that I'd love. If you just love a beautiful garden with lots of blooms and put in a Floribunda garden, but I also had the same experience that you're talking about. I planted mighty oaks in my front yard, and I got a lot of shade, and I did not want to dig up Europeana, and I left Europeana and Blast Off and Iceberg, and they continued to bloom. They may not have bloomed quite as prolifically, but I was not going to dig up Europeana, and I continued to have gorgeous blooms, although there was quite a bit of shade. So you're right, these roses can bloom with not quite as much sun as you know, the full sun. So I do think that was a beautiful story, and I'm glad that you continue to take care of Mark's garden. And if you had one tip for someone that's just starting out growing roses, what would it be, Judy?
I would tell them to start out growing your shrub roses. Your old-fashioned garden roses are the knockouts, because if you start out trying to grow Hypertees, which are the hardest to grow, I think, you will get so discouraged because you're going to run into all the fungus and the black spots and things like this, and then you're going to have the roses that are difficult to grow, and it may not be your fault. It may be just that rose just doesn't like that area that it's in, or this particular part of the region that it's in. And a lot of people don't know that. They think it's something they're doing, and it may not be anything that they're doing. So I would suggest that they just start out with an old garden rose or shrub rose like knockout, and then
right.
Go into society and learn a lot more about it.
Exactly. I know I put in 6 shrubs up my kitchen window to match my kitchen colors called, and I'm not sure if it's, I always said Bonica, but some people I've heard say Bonica, and it was an amazing shrub. So shrub roses are a great choice. So we certainly want to thank you for being our guest and sharing with us what you can do to help in your community and also help your neighbors achieve their dreams. And I I really appreciate that beautiful story that you shared with us about Mark and about how much your local Rose Society can assist you. So thank you, Judy, and we hope you'll come back and be our guest again. So
I appreciate
happy
it.
Thank you. Chris?
Now, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with our weekly roundup of Rose shows being presented around the country. So stay with us. There's more Rose Chat Radio on the way.
Hi, I'm Phil Paul with the American Rose Society. My family has been growing roses for some 50 years. My wife and I have grown roses across the United States for the last 25. There's nothing more breathtaking than a beautiful display of roses in full bloom.
No matter if you're an experienced rosarian or are just beginning your first rose garden, the American Rose Society is here to help. It's a tremendous resource for making your rose garden the envy of your neighborhood. There's even a rose photography contest for members to showcase the best of the best. Each member will be published in the American Rose magazine.
We invite you to become a part of one of America's oldest horticultural societies and the home of our national floral emblem.
For more information on becoming a member of the American Rose Society and on the Rose Photography Contest, visit ars.org.
Well, it's time to mark your calendars. Here's a few of the Rose shows coming up next week. Thomasville Rose Society in Thomasville, Georgia is having their show on April 26th, and there's several shows coming up on April 27th. Sacramento Rose Society in Sacramento, California, Gainesville Rose Society in Gainesville, Florida, the Greater Palm Beach Rose Society in West Palm Beach, Florida, and the Charleston Low Country Rose Society. The last show in April is on April 28th, and that's the Mount Diablo Rose Society in Dublin, California. You can check out the full listing of Rose shows around the U.S. at roseshow.com. I want to thank you, our listeners, for joining us today for Rose Chat on Blog Talk Radio. And we'd love to hear your comments and your feedback on today's show. Just send us an email at grow@rosechat.info. You know, you can find us on Twitter by following the Rose Chat hashtag, and you can like us on Facebook. And be sure to check out our website, rosechatradio.com, where you'll find links to all our previous broadcasts. All of us on Rose Chat are proud members of the American Rose Society, and we believe that becoming a member is a decision you won't regret. So check them out at ars.org.
Underwriting support for Rose Chat Radio is provided by Haven Brand Soil Conditioners, providing generations of gardeners with a truly all-natural alternative to chemical fertilizers with their line of composted manure teas and alfalfa tea for roses. Find them online at manuretea.com.
Well, until next time, happy gardening from your friends at Rose Chat.